Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
That's so loud.
Sorry.
I'm gonna push that so down. And welcome to another episode of Knights of the Round Table. Thank you so much for joining us. This is your boy Manny Fresh. We got Bo Beast over there.
Hi.
We got the Queen. We got Be Real, all present and accounted for.
Oh yeah.
We just here having a good old time drinking some Sauvignon Blanc from line 39.
Okay, let's not have Manny describe it.
I'm
it
just saying.
Is a white tonight line 30 Sauvignon Blanc, California. 2017, this is my dad's favorite kind of wine. Well, Sauvignon Blanc, but it's from Marlborough, is his favorite. That doesn't matter. That's not an interesting fact. So it is inspired by the 39th something, which runs through the heart of California wine country. Mm. This is one of our own.
Well, then you probably should say what it's inspired by. The 39th what?
Parallel. We don't know what that is. At line 39, we select grapes
it's probably
from the best growing regions.
Longitude and latitude is what it is.
That's maybe true. It's authentic reds. Which that whole area grows authentic reds to distinctive whites. So basically all kinds of wine. Discover
nice.
Wine without parallel. It is crisp and grapefruity and lemony apparently with subtle grassy notes. Oh, man,
all things
love
I hate.
That.
I hate all
crisp
of these
and clean.
Things.
It's a perfect, it's a perfect accompaniment to shellfish, gross, or on its own after a long day. I can get down with that. So without further ado,
let's
cheers.
Let's try it.
Someone keep. I need someone to talk this time instead of all of us drinking at the same time. The poor people.
Go ahead, drink your drink.
I don't like it.
It's okay. Actually,
I do taste that grapefruit.
All the things that you said.
I do taste the grapefruit.
I like it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it too.
I really like it.
I don't prefer whites, but I actually kind of like this.
I'll give it probably like a 3 Cheeto fingers out of 5 Cheeto fingers.
Boom. Mm. 3 Cheeto finger out of 5.
I'll sit with your 3 actually.
Cool.
I will give you a 3.5.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is so amazing.
Ew, is Manny drunk already?
This is 9:39 is my life. No, I was just trying to get into the atmosphere, the emotion of what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, why are you being a white girl named Becky?
Because,
totally
oh my
were.
God, I need you to love me. Today we're talking about I need you to love me. Oh my God. That's why I'm feeling that. That's why I'm trying to get you to love me. We're talking about that incessant need inside of us all. Mm. To be liked and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying. We all have it. And those of us who say we don't are liars. Even though as you get older, you do grow out of it. I am definitely growing out of it. But there are key people that I care for that if I'm not on good terms with them, then I have real problems. I get anxiety. Right? Like the other day I was telling you when I thought you were mad at me, I got nauseous and I wanted to throw up.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, remember?
She remembers it. It definitely tore her apart.
Too,
she don't care.
Yeah.
I do. I just don't remember which time.
Yeah, no. I don't mean like you don't care. Which time I was about to throw up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like that too. Like if there's something that's going on and Maddie and I, like again, because it takes a little bit longer for her to process things. So if I'm spilling my heart out and she's still processing it and I got to wait some days to see where she stands on it, I'm just like sick to my stomach. I'm
aww.
Like, yo, I'm not hungry. I hope we're good, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's real. I feel that.
Yeah, conflict never sat well with me. It's never been a comfortable subject.
Yeah, same.
It's the like, but my thing is like, if you feel like you've done something wrong, that changes conflict. Like, if you feel like you want to go into a conflict to straighten something out because someone hurt you, or you know it's just something you need to hash out, there's a very different feeling to, like, your inkling of, like, oh, crap, I've disappointed someone, or I've hurt someone, or I've done something. That's when, like, the knots in the stomach and wanting to throw up stuff comes up, I think, for me.
I think in my industry, our safe thing to say is, well, I'm not for everybody, right? Like, and we know that. Not everyone is going to be a fan of me. Not everyone is a fan of Kevin Hart. Not everyone is a fan of Bill Burr. Not everyone is a fan of one person. And so if you hear something negative or whatever, it's like, well, I'm not for everybody is my, like, fallback. But deep down, there's a part of me that wishes I was for everybody.
Yeah.
I wish everybody did love me and love that joke that I did, or my last hour special or whatever it was. I wish my last hour special got reviews that were good by everyone, you know, but it's not for everybody, you know?
Yeah. No, I felt that. I remember when I was going through this one situation with a friend, and it affected me so bad, even though they weren't in my life anymore. They weren't active at all, but there was, like, an incessant need inside of me to be understood. That's what it is. It's not even be liked, it's be understood. Because if you understand what I'm really saying or who I really am and still don't like me, I can deal with that. But if you don't like me based off a misunderstanding, then I feel like I'll go to the ends of the world to try to correct that understanding.
Yeah, it's that feeling of, like, well, because I think we tell ourselves, like, because if you really knew or if you really did understand, then you would like me, because I like me most of the time. But like,
but that's funny because we think that. Like,
yeah, that's
I'm
what,
like,
I mean.
I think, like, I'm a really good guy. And if someone sees my heart,
they'll get it.
Yeah, they'll really love me because I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
But even that is funny because it's like, no, it doesn't matter how good they understand. Like, there is just some people who will just not like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough to hear for people.
Yes.
Wait, especially because you guys always bring this up, but you're threes.
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for someone else to bring it up.
I'm an eight, so I can give a damn. But
yeah, he's
I feel like
it's not necessarily that you don't give a damn. You just, like, are more vocal about it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, no. Again, there are certain...
He's like, nah, I don't care.
I don't care. Because there's certain people right now that don't like me, and I do not lose sleep.
Oh, I hate that.
And then
God.
There's other people that when they don't like me, if I care about you and you don't like me, like, it's not good. I don't have good days.
I have a human in my life that I did not do anything to that currently I found out has me blocked on Instagram.
Wow.
I know, because I follow his wife and went to, like, wish him a happy birthday and couldn't find him. Turned to my other friend and was like, hey, can you look up this person? Like, did they get rid of the Instagram? Just like, you mean this guy? And I was like, yeah, wait, what? And then just realized that apparently that person has decided that they are on somebody else's team and just doesn't like me. And it ate me up for a minute because I was like,
why do you think so?
Well, I think it was because I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, you just decided you didn't want me even to see me or have me even able to find you. It wasn't that you unfollowed me. To block someone is a lot. Like, I don't even think I have my exes blocked still on Instagram. Like, comes a point when you're like, all right, everyone deserves, you know, a life on Instagram.
Everyone deserves to see me really happy life.
That's really
thrive.
What she was saying.
Speaking of being loved, I think it's just that feeling of, like, there wasn't a conversation. And also some of the acts surrounding this was this person's probably kind of shady. Is that terrible that I'm now throwing shade at this person because I feel like I'm not being liked?
It's fine. You shaded me.
Yeah, so therefore I have a podcast. Let's talk about this person. Their Instagram, no. I think it just was like I didn't feel like it was warranted. And I feel like we're okay if Branson and I decide we don't vibe with each other, but we're not, like, that's one thing. If Brandon decides he doesn't like me and there isn't a reason in my mind, we have so much more of a hard time taking a grip on the fact that, like, you got to decide that you don't like me and I felt like I didn't have a saying it, let alone, again, like what you were saying, Manny, was understood. Like
exactly. Yeah. That's what it sounds like is you, mm-hmm. similar to what Manny was saying, is the feeling of being understood. Like, mm-hmm. wait, what did I do? Because I can probably explain myself.
And that's I know what the situation was, and I could absolutely explain myself and like explain a lot of other people in the process. But that's what it came down to. Like, this isn't worth it. Like, I could call that person.
If you were honest with yourself, even if you got, if the person said they understood you,
mm-hmm.
and they still didn't want you.
And they wouldn't know, you know what I mean?
But I'm saying,
but
which,
you
would
like,
it,
okay.
Would it bother you?
Yeah, that's good.
Would it bother
you? So if I explained the situation, well, the thing is that there's a lot of lies involved, I guess. So if it was like proving and uncovering truth, which is the reason this person, I think.
No, I just think at the end of the day, they just land on the side of they just.
And so if like we got to that point and they were still like, yeah, I just hate you as a human.
They heard your explanation and it just
then
wasn't
Then I'd be like,
sufficient.
What a dick.
And so you'd like, be okay. Care. You'd be able to walk away.
You'd still think about it because you like.
Well, then I'd probably like try and like sabotage their life or something like that, you know, like spread rumors. I'm kidding. I'm much more
you
angry
like,
than
you
I used
like,
to be.
You like, again, as matured as you have been into
so
E3 and stuff, again.
Just after I said sabotaging someone's life.
But no, it's a little bit of a game. Like, I like to win people over.
Yes, it's a, for a three,
so
it's a huge game.
It's a sense of accomplishment of like, I got you.
Do we feel like we spend more time doing that off of people that we don't even know are going to be in our lives?
I used to. It used to come out in flirting. Mm-hmm. So it was a sense of like, there wouldn't even be a girl I'd really be interested in. Like, it'd be like, low-key, you're cute. Like, I'm just going to see if
you're
I got
like the
it.
Most interesting
you know,
one
it's
in the
like,
room.
It's like a sauce check, you know, of like, yeah, I still got the sauce. Mm. I could turn it on when I need to. Now, again, I haven't had to turn it on for a long time. Thank
Maddie
God.
Maddie was like, Brandon, stop doing that.
But, yeah, it's this thought of, like, I like winning you over because, I think a lot of that early on, I'm starting to grow out of it a little bit. I still have it in me because I feel like it was a habit for so long of, like, getting people to love me and to like me and to see where I'm coming from and feel comfortable with me being me.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, I was like, again, shrinking myself. I was becoming something else. And again, my job isn't to make you feel comfortable with me. I've now learned that lesson. Mm. But I think early on, because I struggled with loving myself, I needed this outward validation from all these people around me of like, you're a good guy. And the more that I needed that, it was because I was so unsure that if I was a good guy or not, or if people were like, oh my God, you're amazing. Like you're all of this. And it was because deep down inside, I didn't really think I was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I needed all these outside voices to try and kind of numb what I didn't know to be true inside.
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I think the time that it hits me the most was when I was so afraid. And I think the reason I would work so hard back in the day, because I was so afraid that what they were saying was right.
Yeah, like, I think that actually that's like, such a good point. I'm having my own little like epiphany.
Oh, this guy is this. This guy is this.
Yeah.
And I would try to explain to them because I'm like, well, if I can rationalize them into understanding that I'm not this person, then maybe I'll believe it too. Because if they're right, then that means I'm not a good person. Like if they're warranted in their feeling towards me, I'm not a good person. I feel like as I've gotten older and I grew as a person and I've worked on areas, you know, I can call bullshit when I need to, but I think there's still a little part of me that's still afraid that when there is a situation where somebody doesn't want to mess with me anymore or doesn't love me, maybe that little kid comes out and is like, damn, maybe they're right about me. Mm. Like maybe there's something in me that just does suck and I'm not deserving of them.
I think it's always that imposter syndrome that like we're dealing with really, that we seek the validation from other people to remind us of what we hope is true deep down. And I think going back to the situation, as you guys are talking, that makes so much sense because it was what I found out because I needed to be in control, you know, you get it. Yeah. But I was like, what happened? And found out the situation that it had happened was actually someone coming to me and it wasn't like I could have answered actually probably logically and justified it, but I wanted to be so careful of the situation that I responded to the person, didn't get involved, and dealt with the situation as maturely and emotionally healthy as I knew how to. And it was actually a situation, I think you guys would remember it if I told you, I was proud of until I found out this person had heard a completely different version of the situation. So I think that deep down I was like, wait, I thought I was really proud of myself in that situation. Did I not handle it? Maybe I haven't grown as much as I thought I had grown. So I think that question for me, have I done the work? And I think that's a terrifying question, especially when other people, their actions are because they don't like you, if you will, they're not validating you, that makes you question, okay, what am I sure of inside? Do I know that I know that I've done the work, or does me having done the work rely on somebody else telling me that, like, wow, Elise, you've really grown?
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, it still definitely feels sometimes other people saying that. And it's that journey of like, I've got to know in me, you've done the work. Make sense?
Something just hit me.
What?
A slogan, a hide and see. Not hide and seek, but hide and see. Those are the two reasons I think people do this. You got people who need to be liked, and when they are not, it's because somebody saw the shit in them, and they wanted to hide it. Not that they wanted to be understood. They actually wanted the opposite. I don't want you to see the real me, so I'm going to try to appease and get you back on my side, not to change, but so that you don't think I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you got other people who want to be seen. And you not liking them is saying that they don't see your intention. They don't see the good that you're trying to do. They don't see that you're efforting yourself as much as possible to become a good person. Mm-hmm. So when they don't see it and they decide to leave anyways, you feel like they didn't see your effort. You're unseen. So as you were talking, I just feel like, man, because there's guys out there that I know, there's like, they don't want to be seen. They just want to hide. And if you call it out, there's the victim. They're like, oh my God, it's not what I meant. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. Mm-hmm. Knowing damn sure it's exactly who they are, but somebody just caught them.
Yeah.
So they need to like put the front. And then there's other people who genuinely are like, man, I'm not seen. And you're making this decision based on somebody who I am not. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I started just being 100% honest.
Are you always that?
100% honest or 100?
Like, do you feel like you've shaken the need to be liked?
No. Not with people that I care about.
Got it.
With people that I don't care about, deuces, my nigga.
Yeah.
I got no qualms.
I'm at that place now, too. Much better than where I used to be. Because I think growing up in church, you know, we have these... I just remember how people who were considered backslidden, like how much crap was talking about them and how ostracized they became. It was like they became like lepers in the colony, you know? Move to the outside. We don't want any interaction with you. Mm. There is no grace, no empathy for where you're at in your process. Mm. Like, you don't believe the same things we believe, so you're out here. And so I think when I started kind of deconstructing some years back, I think there was this fear inside of me that I was like, oh man, this is really bad. Not only because what I'm believing is at question, but now all these people who have believed in me, now they're going to question me. And they were going to be like, well, I felt really comfortable with you back then, but now you're something different. And honestly, I just don't think you're in a healthy place.
They make judgments.
Quote. That's like an actual quote. Wow. You're not in a healthy place.
Wow.
And I was going to say some choice words. And then... it's funny because even in that moment, I was going to be like, bitch, what? Let's talk about this. But I thought, I still want her to feel comfortable with me. And I was like, oh my God, I still haven't shaken this yet. And I think for a lot of people, it got to a point where I was just like, you know what? Like, if I can't be happy with myself, if I can't be honest with where I'm at myself, what is all this worth it? Because so-and-so, Susie saying she's good with how I'm choosing to live my life does not let me sleep better at nighttime.
Right. Mm. Right.
And, you know, I love this one Kanye line. He talks about this. He says, I'm not out of control. I'm just out of they control.
Ooh.
Like, it's not like I'm out here wiling. It's just really like you're not in a place where you feel comfortable with me. And that's your problem. That's not mine. And so even recently, too, just in my deconstruction, I've had to have some, like, serious talks with my dad. And again, my dad and I... right now at this time of the recording, we got a good relationship.
Said that a couple times this season.
Yeah, like I just got to remind because I feel like someone listening to this who doesn't know my dad and just knows me might think some things about my dad. Again, we're good right now. But recently he just discovered that I drink alcohol. Obviously, if you watch the show on YouTube, you can see me drinking wine on the show. And I remember, like, this was first season. He saw a trailer. He saw me sipping some wine. He calls me. And my dad is very, like, he doesn't drink at all. He feels very strongly about it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And so, really?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's a
she feels strongly that she likes to drink.
Oh, yeah, got you. I didn't, that went way over my head right now.
It's fine, it's fine.
And so I remember he calls me and he's like, hey, man, you got a minute, which is kind of his lead-in of like, hey, we're going to talk about something serious. We're going to unpack this. So I was like, yeah, yeah, what's up? And my dad hates confrontation. And I've gotten okay with it now. So I could just already tell he is like so uncomfortable.
He's been working up to this conversation.
Yeah,
he's had it fasting for a week.
He's like, been looking at himself in the mirror. He's like, you got this, Sean. You got this. You are a strong man. Confront your son, you know. And that's not really his heart. But so he calls me and I was just like, hey, man, I'll be honest with you. Like, again, this isn't, I feel like I'm okay. I've never been drunk. Again, I drink in moderation. I drink responsibly. Mm-hmm. Like, if there is a poster boy for drinking responsibly, I'd like to put my name in the corner, honestly. And so we're talking and stuff, and I'm just like, hey, this is, like, I don't feel that conviction from God anymore. And honestly, some of the best conversations that I've had in the last 2 years of my life have been over a glass of wine with you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the fruit of my drinking has been nothing but good. Right. You know, like, I got some guidelines for myself of, like, in drinking or whatever. And so it was funny because as I was saying it, it was like little Brandon inside of me that's wanting to make his dad proud his entire life is like, oh my God, we are in disagreement right now. And you're feeling uncomfortable with this just one little decision in my life.
Wow.
I felt like it was like a pivotal moment for me. Mm. Like it really felt like, oh yeah, I'm a grown man now. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
I forgot.
It's like I felt like I'm grown, but
I don't have to go to my room.
You can't ground me. I pay my own bills. I got my own spot. And so I just remember, like, there was something getting me. And it was so cool because I felt like a lot of that broke off of me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm forgetting how powerful of a person I am. And it is okay with the way that I'm choosing to live my life. And the guy who I've wanted to be okay and feel good about every aspect of the way that I'm choosing to live my life for my entire life. Mm. Now there's areas of my life that he doesn't feel comfortable with, and that is completely okay. And so if I feel like I'm able to do that with my dad, because he's been that idol for me in my life, I'm like, then who are you? You know, right. Like if I'm okay now with my dad not feeling good about this, I really don't need it from you at this point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so that's been like one of those tough things because this happened just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
How about you? Cool.
I feel like, I mean, mine would be my relationship with my fans and my fan base. And I've gotten more vocal on my social media. I used to play way safe and I would not take any stances politically or spiritually. Actually, no, spiritually I would, because I was back then very black and white. But I feel like I would do those things in more recent days because I was afraid. I can speak Christianese really well. I know it fluently. I don't necessarily speak Christianese in my daily life anymore. But I know when I'm with certain groups, I know to turn it on because I am concerned of what they're going to think about me. So like if I start speaking Christianese, I'm thinking that they're thinking, okay, cool, she's still one of us. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, we don't have to be disappointed in her. Okay, cool. Like, we don't have to be concerned. Same thing, like, as I've been going through my deconstruction process very privately and just now starting to talk more about it on this podcast, I have not yet brought it to my stand-up act. Mm-hmm. Or even my own social media very loudly. It's still been like, I'll plant a little seed and let's see how people react to it. But there's a few things that I'm afraid of in being completely honest with my process is one, losing a certain section of my fan base that I've held for a really long time, because yes, I'm funny, but these particular fans were fans of me because they could trust that I'm on the same page as they are. Oh, cool. She's one of us. Mm-hmm. So there's that fear. And then there's the fear of all the relationships that I've built in my Christian career, in my life of being a Christian, all these relationships. It's that fear of my questioning equating to failure and not wanting to be seen as a failure from people that I held so highly and had so much respect for. And what's interesting is I don't even hold these people that high anymore in my life. Like, I don't look to these people and be like, it used to be like, hey, everybody, if you want to know what it's like to be a good Christian, look at so-and-so over here. This is a really good example of how to do it. And then I started realizing like, oh, I'm actually not agreeing with all the things that you're doing. And it turned into, actually, don't look over there, everybody. Just kidding. Don't look over there. So it's gone from those particular relationships that I held so high. I don't even hold them that high anymore, but still their opinion of me, I still have that so high.
Right.
And I don't know why. I think it comes back to the fear of the unknown. Like, I don't know what it's going to be like when I be completely honest and open. Who's going to disown me? Who's going to, you're out of our club, whatever. And I don't even want to be in the club. But I still want to be invited. That's like, I want to be invited to the party, but I'm not going to go.
Right, but I still want to have the invitation on my fridge, like, just, you know, so I can say I was invited. It's such an, I really love the distinction you made. It's not even the, like, your opinion of that person in a sense that you hold high, it's their opinion of you.
Yeah.
And that's like all of us. Like, there are so many people I can think of that I'm like, it's not even necessarily that I hold you high as a person in terms of like, I want to be like you.
Yeah.
And not that it's opinion versus opinion, but just like at the stakes of like what my dad thinks is very important. What my mom, like my immediate family, my immediate circle, if like everyone sat me down in a little like intervention moment.
And wrote you a letter.
Wrote me a letter. Everyone read it out. And we locked the doors and we're like, you can either go back to Australia or you can go to this rehab place. Oh, that got deep real quick. My bad. But like it, those people I would value if they said, hey, I feel like there's some red flags happening in your life. But it's the people that I would honestly be like, I wouldn't invite you to a house party of mine with lots and lots of people. So why do I care what you think of me? And I think that's such a, as everyone's been talking, I'm now starting to think of like multiple situations where I'm like, crap, man, like freaking that event we were at the other day. As a human being there, awkward moments at the same table, knowing she does not mess with me. And it's not that I know, and we've like, I know we're not friends, but it's the outward showing of like, I don't like you, that really still I struggle with. And it's that, oh, I know I'm not going to get everyone to like me, but I'm just, I'm really nice when you get to know me.
But I want, it's exactly I don't what I just said. I want to be invited to the party.
But I don't want to go.
But I don't want to go.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not even going to come.
I think, look, if you're listening and you feel like you are that needy person, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean.
I'm saying, like, if you're that person that's, like, literally listening, like, I think the first thing you need to do is establish, like, what they're talking about. Whether or not the person that you're seeking approval from, you actually see in your life moving forward. Like, do you really see them as a lifer? Them or it, or if it's an organization or whatever it is. Like, do you see that thing, that person in your life beyond just the now? Because we all want to be liked right now, but if we're investing our emotions in being liked in someone or something that's going to be gone in a year, then like, why?
But also too, like, I would like Brandon to speak to that, because you were talking about it's your dad. So your dad is a lifer for you, but it's still taking the weight of his opinion of you off. So like, how do do you differentiate or balance that?
Yeah, I think for me, it comes back to the place of like two things. I am in tune with the spirit that's inside of me.
There you go.
So what is that spirit telling me? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes that spirit will take you on a journey that other people around you, even close to you, might not understand mm-hmm. completely.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm here for a reason. Like, and I'm still discovering what that reason is, why I was born. I feel like I got like a sense of that. But that's my mission. My mission is not to be understood necessarily. Like, I look at Jesus and I was like, he is so confusing.
Right.
Like, he's like talking all about all these stories that don't make sense. Like, literally, parables, another translation of saying parables, it was mysterious stories or dark sayings. Like, it was like, you know, when we understand something, we see it in the light. Mm. We see it for what it is. But he's literally speaking in these dark sayings and no one understand what he's saying. And I'm like, man. But again, he was speaking what he felt called to, what his mission was to come and bring. And so, again, I think sometimes growing up, I felt like my mission was to be understood. My mission is not to be understood. Like, there is some purpose that the Spirit is calling me to that I have to stay true to. But I think the other thing for me that eats me up is my conscience. So, like, when I'm not honest or my motives are whack and stuff, man, I, like, lose sleep over that. Mm-hmm. Like, in the past, when I've done people dirty, when I've done girls dirty, like, in the sense of, like, knowing very well, I'm not trying to be in a relationship with you. We're not going to be booed up in cuffing season come fall, winter, you know, of, like, but I'm just playing the game. There was something still inside of me that was like, man, I'm trash, dude. Like, this girl deserves better. Like, I'm just messing with her emotions, all these sorts of things. And so I think over the years, I've had to really learn how to, like, really value honesty within myself. And for me, the honesty within myself looks like, can I sleep good at night knowing I did my best? Mm. I gave my best. And I think for so many years, I've become so many things to so many people, but I wasn't living honest to what I am truly believing.
Very good.
And because I'm not being honest to, like, I think honesty is one of those paths that the spirit can actually, like, move in. Mm. Because I feel like if you're not honest, you're out of alignment with whatever that thing is. For someone, it might be their intuition or whatever. But I just think, like, okay, my dad is going to love me regardless. Like, at the end of the day, since he's a lifer, he's going to love me regardless. And he can love me despite feeling comfortable with me or being uncomfortable with me. There is a deeper bond than me liking how you're living your life. That's right. Love. It's supposed to be unconditional. Rarely it is unconditional. It's mostly conditional for a lot of us in a lot of our relationships. And so for me, I just think I'm like, okay, what is the spirit calling me to do? Who do I feel like he's wanting me to become? And at the end of the day, am I being true to who I know I am? And if those two things line up for me and you bring in on that side thing, Maddie is confirmation, you know, because that's my partner. And I'm like, I don't really need anything else. It'd be nice to have everything else, but like, that's not going to happen. And so it's even something still too that I'm like, I'm wrestling with, you know? And going back to what we were talking about earlier, like, there's people who I used to look up to and idolize. And again, now I don't idolize them anymore. I'm like, I'm past you. And that's literally how I feel. But like, if they were to call me tomorrow and be like, oh, Brandon, the spirit of the Lord, he just told me you're not doing good, I'd be like, I'm not doing good, you know? Right. And I'd be like, wait, nah, let me shake this off. This is an old B, you know? I'm good, you know? And so it's interesting. I feel like the more that I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be, the more I'm falling in love with that guy. And at the same time, too, the less that I am needing other people who I've looked up to be okay with that guy.
So in the same breath, then, are we able to say then, because like I said, I'm a douce. Like, there's a, in one hand, I can count on people that I give a damn about if I'm cool with or not. Everyone else, I'm not, I don't care. Is that a good thing? Are there people in your life that you should want them to need, you know, them to love you or to accept you?
I think it's a really good point. And I think that that's, yes. But we all know I'm probably the unhealthiest in this area, so it's fine. No, I just think as Brandon's talking, and I for sure resonate with so much of what he's saying, there is that thing in the back of my mind of like, But there is a safety, I feel like, in my life of what the Bible would call wise counsel.
Right.
Or that kind of thing. So that doesn't mean I now am like, F the world. If I'm deciding to go over here and live my life my own way, I don't care. Anybody can hate me, whatever. I think there is still social awareness, self-awareness, knowing when you're ticking people off and still being aware of it. Even if it doesn't affect you like it used to, I think it's also dangerous when you start to not care in the sense of like cynical, like cold way of like, I don't care that I'm affecting people, not by our harmless actions, but like I have seen people that say they don't give a crap what people think and they just go around creating tornadoes everywhere they go and causing pain. Now, I don't think anyone here is saying that at all.
Right.
But I still think there is a balance between like, I don't need everybody to love me, but I do have a select few people that I'm going to go to for advice, for wisdom, to be a sounding board, to say like, hey, can you like check me in some of my blind spots? Like, how do you feel like I'm doing? Now, are they Bible? No, God's Bible. But that doesn't mean I don't listen and take into account and hold weight in those people that I've decided.
Yeah. And I definitely am not saying that I,
yeah,
which I'm glad you said that. I'm not saying that I have zero craps. No, I am saying I have zero craps to give to a lot of people because I am well aware, well, at least have a good bullshit meter on whether or not people actually care what's going on in my life. For those who actually care, like even random people on Instagram who come at me with actual care, I will literally converse with them for like 20 minutes because they're really wanting to know what's up. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. They legitimately care, so I'm going to give them my legitimate self. And it's not like I'm trying to please them or I want them to love me. But I've realized that the second I give that over, like I let people know that I am in need of them loving me, then that's an easy way to get taken advantage of. And so I'm a lot more careful on who I allow that. And I found that the people that I have close to me, I do a good job at making sure that whoever's close to me are people that are deserving of that. So they affect me more than anyone else. But I used to be the guy that wanted everyone to like me. So everyone had that control over me. Whether we were like super close or not super close. And that's just dangerous because then you lose yourself. You lose yourself in a land of other people's opinions. And I just can't, I don't want to travel there no more, you know?
Yeah. And then too, even in that place of not knowing, it used to drive me crazy. And I remember my dad one time gave me this piece of advice. He was like, son, why are you letting what they think about you drive you crazy?
That's like, crazy because that like kind of came full circle for you.
And he goes, quit giving him the keys to your car.
Come on now,
and
Dad.
And I was like, I remember hearing this. This was like, I was a sophomore in high school. And I was like, that's true. Like these people that don't matter to me, yeah, why am I letting them drive me crazy? And because I don't know if they like me or not, I don't have to give them the keys to my car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I've actually been driving the whole time. And how stupid of me to be able to like let other people drive where my life goes based off how they're feeling in a moment, you know?
Yeah.
Whether they interpret what I'm doing as good or interpret my confidence for arrogance, you know, and just stuff like that. And so,
yo, I know cats that I used to do ministry with. I know artists that literally would feel like their songs God didn't like because they weren't accepted at radio or they weren't accepted by people. People didn't buy the song. People didn't like the song. So they legitimately felt like it wasn't even an offering to God.
Wow.
Because I mean, how else do you feel it? Yeah. Like you measured it by people liking it or people playing it on the radio. And if they weren't, then that meant there wasn't enough Jesus in it. Like the actual Spirit of God was not on this song.
And he says, I will draw all men unto myself.
Isn't that crazy that you wanted that acceptance and then you left feeling like God wasn't with you because the radio wouldn't play it? And I'm like, wow. I know dudes that are like, they never picked up a guitar again.
Mm.
And I'm just like, wow, yo.
Dang.
That hits me so hard. And maybe that's why I have such a violent, protection. I protect my peace.
a lot, my peace and my sanity. I'm violent with it. Mm. And at the same time, like I said, if I love you, then I'm as vulnerable as a little freaking girl. So.
Reminds me of a song by Eminem. Lose yourself in the music in the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's one that I really hold close and dear to my heart when I think about.
Speaking of spaghetti.
My own choices.
He talks about it.
Sorry, guys. Did you always talk about Drake? I was just trying to relate to my people. I was trying to get you to love me. You
know what I mean? Oh, my gosh.
It's like, it's so interesting when I think back on even growing up, teenager, early 20s. And like some of the things kind of like what B was saying with my conscience, like whether I stepped over boundaries with a boy or like,
You guys are gene jamming,
you know,
gene jamming in the parking lot.
And I will every time stab you say that, it does make me want to like hurt myself. So like
because we did it.
It hurts.
Gene. Well, it hurts. But I had a friend that said,
do you know what I mean?
He said, his Christian porn was, I forget what he called it, but his slogan was, "My jeans are my condom."
Wait, what?
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
That's jean jamming.
My jeans.
Because you're like, yo, we can't go all the way there, but we could like kind of.
As long as we keep the jeans on. We don't have to go there. You know what I'm saying?
But we could be here. You know what I'm saying? Like, while we're feeling this moment.
This could be what it's like. You know what I mean?
And then Genuine had just come out with that song, "In Those Jeans, Looking Good." I was like, girl, what's up in those jeans? Is there room for me in those jeans? And you know very well there was no jeans that were coming off. We were just going to be.
God.
Anyways, I'm out here getting memories. What? Oh, yeah. What's going on?
I was saying, like, I would like feel like my guilt or shame, if you will, like I couldn't sleep myself, like my conscious wouldn't let me sleep, would feel so guilty. Because if I go back to the situation, it's because I wanted someone to, I was so scared to say like, no, or like put up boundaries. Cause I was like, well, this boy won't like me anymore. Or like, if I don't do this with like my girlfriends at a sleepover, it was like bullying or whatever. Specifically, I'd say like, late primary school, which in Australia I would have been like 13 or 14, like with peer pressure with girls. Like I knew I was bullying, but honestly, like I didn't want to be the one that was bullied. So in a sense, it was like, you're going to bully or be the bullied person. And I would wreck myself afterwards for that. But in the moment, it felt like my only option. And then like later in life, because I didn't deal with that then as a kid, it turned into like in relationships with guys, I'd be on a date and like the next day I'd be like, crap, how did that happen? But really in the moment, it was like, oh, I want to say like, hell no. Or like, bye, dummy. Like this is, get out of my, like wherever. But I was like, oh, but I don't like, well, I don't want him to like think I'm whatever. Does that make sense? And so it's like there's things I look back on now that I'm like really at the bottom of it. It was this thing we have in us of people pleasing, of like I need you to like me, even at the expense of our own morals and standards and boundaries and that kind of stuff. And so like we've said at the beginning, like I'm still for sure on that journey with it, but I'm really grateful for what I've learned the last few years to be able to bring me to a place where at least I can not gene jam.
I mean, gene jam is better than jam and jam, and at least ain't nobody getting pregnant.
Gene jamming hurts.
Yeah, no, wait, it is.
Get a rash.
Get a rash. Oh my God, I just talked to somebody that actually messaged me and said the same thing.
No,
shaving.
They got a...
No, they were dealing with the peer pressure thing, and they're older, and they're talking about it. They're like, man, you know, I am in a relationship and they're like, every time I cross a line that I shouldn't, I get anxiety and I literally like have anxiety attacks.
Oh man.
But I do it anyways because I'm afraid of, you know, the dude not liking me.
I'd love to hear people from that, like people's thoughts on that because like that's it. If people are very honest and very real, we've all had a situation we can look back on and be like, oh yeah, I would have done something differently if I wasn't so afraid. Really at the core, you might have called it something different, but this person would disapprove of me or like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened to me once, a couple times. Like I got down with a chick and I was afraid if she would think of me.
Soldiers were marching.
I was afraid if I didn't get down with her, she'd think I was a punk, you know, so I had to step up and be, be the man. Yeah. Legit. Aww. I legit thought that. I was like, oh man, she didn't think I'm a punk. But man, I think at the root, like what you were saying, at the root, if you are listening,
there in all of us, there is this insatiable need to be loved. And I don't know if that innately is bad.
Yeah.
If you waste it on the wrong people.
Totally.
Yeah. I think it's something that's in us to push us to better ourselves and push us to become a better partner, a better friend, a better lover, a better everything, you know? So I definitely don't want this to come across like we're saying, you know, F the world, don't ask me for nothing. But protect that part of you and spend it wisely, because you don't, it's not something that can last. It's very fragile if you spend it on the wrong people. And then you may end up that hardcore person that's like, I don't give a crap about nobody, because when I do, they just take advantage of me. So choose wisely. Appreciate that side of you, because some people are so turned off emotionally that they can't even access that. But definitely choose wisely and understand it's not a weakness in the right hands. It's actually a pretty commendable trait. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully you liked our tales from the crypt on all these needing. And we, look, guys, we need you to like us. And
subscribe.
Follow
Speaking
us,
of emotional
subscribe.
Health.
Subscribe. Please and it's not that, like, us. We, you know, we need you, but we know for real, we need you to like us. Follow us
if
on
you
all
want.
This stuff.
Literally like if hit you want, the like button.
Subscribe if you're on YouTube, anywhere. But seriously, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you.
You guys, I really liked this wine.
Yeah. And we're glad that so Babise likes wine.
Take it here, Dad.
We're so
I'm going to.
The surprise
we're
of the hotel.
So grateful. We love you guys. Hey, you're always... You're
try again. Start over from the top.
It's from the from the wine.
We pray you God. Find a seat at the table,
and if no, you don't, you
you're
always
welcome
at ours.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I was gonna say something else.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, I feel good every morning. Ow! Can't wait to start my day. A little sugar in my coffee, yeah, that'll get me on my way, on my way, on my way.
No, you can't keep me down, got my feet off the ground, and my head in the clouds, oh, oh, oh. Once you find what I found, there's no turning around, nothing stopping it now, oh, oh, oh.
Do you feel the love? Do you feel it? It sure feels good to me, yeah, feels good to me, yeah. If you feel the love, if you feel it, better talk to me with your feet. I feel good in the nighttime, yeah. Got my homies on the way, on the way. They pick me up in the Cadillac, woo. Cruising down the PCH, oh yeah. London back to LA. Do you feel the love?